Then take your Bibles, go to the book of Hebrews. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Hebrews. I'm just making sure y'all are still awake on a Wednesday night. I know it's been a long week for you. Thanks for being here. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You've probably better off starting in Revelation and working towards the front of the Bible if you don't know where it's at. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 35. We're only going to read two verses. I'll read them both for you. But I really want you to catch this. Boy, I'm excited about this evening's truth. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, key word, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Two phrases that we're going to kind of put together for this evening's message. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Beginning of verse number 36, ye have need of patience. The title of this evening's message is Persevering with Patience. Persevering with patience. Let's pray and then you'll may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. And I do thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the people here, what they mean to me personally. Lord, I love the families. I love the time we get to spend talking, get the fellowship. But Lord, we're here this evening to hear what you have to say. Lord, and I ask that you would use the message as it's been prepared. Lord, don't let me get in the way of the truth this evening. Please allow it to be clear and simple. Holy Spirit, I'll yield myself to you as best as I know how. And I'd ask that you would use me this evening to do something that I cannot do. Speak to hearts, encourage, strengthen, and motivate. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35, and verse number 36 is an amazing two verses that I think is just a springboard. It took a lot of work to focus my thoughts to make sure we stayed on a straight and narrow path for one truth this evening. Usually I give you an introduction, then I kind of talk a little bit, and then I give you the sermon. But what I'm going to do this evening is right now, within the first 30 seconds, I'm going to give you the entire sermon. But I don't want you to go to sleep. I'm gonna give you the entire sermon literally in about 60 seconds. But I'm going to restate it three or four times throughout the next 50 to 75 minutes. Liars. All right. Here's the sermon in a nutshell. Patience is not needed to wait for a trial to end, but for the fulfillment of a promise after an action that can be blessed has been performed. Patience is not needed in order to wait for a trial to end. Patience is not for you to get through a trial. Patience is for those who are waiting on the fulfillment of a promise after obeying one of God's commands. Let me give you a quick illustration. A kindergartner goes to school, and almost within the first couple days of school, they're already talking about graduating high school. There's a lot of trials. They need patience. But they don't need patience because they're going to stay at home. They need patience as they go through each grade level to do what they're supposed to do so they can get to graduation and graduate from high school. Patience to the child of God is very similar. We don't need patience because we're waiting for a difficult trial to end. We need patience so that way we can keep going and doing what we're supposed to be doing when there's a gap between obedience and reward. In Hebrews chapter number 10, let me give you a little bit of a brief understanding of who the Bible's talking to here. We find a group of Christians that, first of all, they were facing persecution. They faced persecution because of verse number 32 of the same chapter, Hebrews 10, 32. The Bible says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." They got saved and they immediately faced difficult times in their life. You got to understand the day and age that we're living in, the church age. If I can use this, it was illegal to be a professing Christian. And especially if you were a Jew, getting saved often meant your own funeral. Maybe not physically, but your own family would reject you as an individual. We came face to this in Kentucky on our bus route when a little Muslim child came to church. And he was ready to get saved, and I couldn't figure out why he wasn't getting saved. I mean, I just, week after week after week, I said, what's going on? He goes, well, if I get saved, then they're going to kick me out of the house. They will not let me. They've already told me that I'm pushing the limits going to church. And here's a 10-year-old, 11-year-old boy that's going to, this is what we're talking about. As soon as they got saved, there was an instant fight. But not only because of a belief in God did they face persecution, but because of the actions that they were performing as a direct result of their belief in God. In verse 33, you'll see, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, public example, public humiliation, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. They not only got saved, but many of them started living the Christian life. And both of these were causes of persecution in these Christians' lives. So we find, first of all, that they face persecution, but secondly, we also find that they are facing an apparent pause of God's blessings on their life. Have you ever met somebody as a soul winner? They get saved, and it just seems like the whole world falls apart at the seams. Have you been there in your life where, as a Christian, you make a decision for God, and you're excited, and then it just seems like the world unravels? Wait a minute, hold on, time out. I thought things were supposed to get better, not worse. These people get saved, they're excited, they get on fire for God, they face persecution, but then it almost seems as if God has turned their back on them. And it seems as if, where's these blessings that we were told about? We find those who become weak in the flesh starting to actually cast doubt on the promises of God, because there was a delay in the fulfillment of those promises. Why are you soul winning? Most of the people you talk to and get saved never even come to church. Heard that before? Why do you waste your time? Why do you, and you could fill in the blanks just as well as I can. People begin to cast doubt that God's promises can be fulfilled because of a delay. We find them making statements maybe like, God has made us a promise that he would bless us, but we haven't seen those blessings in our lives. We aren't immersed in the blessings of God. Instead, we're enduring the persecution because of the work of God. Here we've been promised this wonderful Christian life, and these promises have not been fulfilled like we think they should be. We find that the Bible, then, in verses 35 and 36, we read the instructions. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't give up hope. Don't take your confidence and give up on God, but don't even take your confidence and place it on man. Don't cast away your confidence. Why? Which hath great recompense of reward. Don't give up hope. Hang in there long enough for God to reward you the way that he can reward you. Do you want what man can give you, or do you want what God can give you? There is a great recompense of reward coming if you don't cast away your confidence. We find the definition, if you will, for patience in verse number 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God. The will of God has already been performed. The act of obedience has already taken place. Now you need patience. Why? That ye might receive the promise. The promise of that great recompense, whether monetary, whether spiritually, physically. The Bible is instructing them to have patience between doing the work of God and reaping the reward of being in the will of God. I don't have time to teach chapter number 11. We're going to see some illustrations yet again in just a few minutes. But can I show you a pattern of repetition in many different individuals' lives throughout different eras of Christianity? Look at verse number 8. By faith of chapter number 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, what's that next word? After receive an inheritance. He had to leave, obey, patiently wait, and then receive the inheritance. Look at verse number 13. Talking about other Christians, also referring to the individuals listed in the previous verses. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. This is big league Christianity. To receive a promise from God, and with those promises always comes a commandment to obey. I set off to obey, and I come to the end of my life realizing I am probably not going to get to see Canaan land. But I'm going to obey, and I will see the promises fulfilled afar off. I am not personally going to experience them, but I'm going to remain patient, faithful, and obedient so the next generation can. We preach revival, and I believe it can happen at the drop of a hat. But we have sown years of sin and fleshly results that we are going to soon reap. Are we going to have patience? Or are we just going to say, well, it's an inconvenience to me. I don't see how I can receive a reward. I'm just going to quit. Or are we going to have the grit to see that God can fulfill His promises, if not in my lifetime, then in the lifetimes to come? How many individuals in history have died and shed their blood for our great country, never once seeing the fulfillment of freedom? But their blood and their patience brought freedom to you and I. Same in the life of a Christian. Look at verse number 20 of the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning what? Things to come. Future. Patience. In fact, he would die before he would see those fulfilled. Verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm going to endure patiently the difficulty I'm in, instead of than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm going to obey now with the hope of one day reaping the benefit, even though right now I'm not seeing it. But I would rather patiently wait in affliction than live peaceably in sin. We find in verse number 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured long period of time seeing him who was invisible. If you study each and every individual, each and every story in Hebrews chapter 11, you will find a command to obey, obedience, patience, and then a reward. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 35 is saying. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You need to persevere with patience. You don't need patience to make it through. You need to persevere patiently. You need to persevere doing what God has told you to do, waiting for God to reward you. Whether it comes or not, you need to keep on going. Let me make several observations before we get to the end of the message this evening. Observation number one, we find that while these Christians lost temporary comforts, they gained access to eternal rewards. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 34. I like this verse. Look at the end of the verse, if you will. Knowing in yourselves, this is why they're doing what they're doing, that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Is that not the life of a Christian? We don't do what we do because we enjoy it or see immediate monetary value right now. We do what we do because Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, they chose to forfeit enjoying, and this is almost a carnal statement, because it's amazing. You talk to people going through difficult times, and they're some of the happiest Christians. They don't seem like they've given up anything. But in a sense, fleshly, humanly speaking, you do have to give up some fleshly, or if you will, some temporary comforts. But they realized that they were going to gain access to eternal rewards. We read that in verse number 13 of chapter number 11. Not having these received these promises, but what? Having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. They didn't cast away their confidence and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. It's a great song. But when the rubber really meets the road, do we live our lives that way? Or do we live as if this is all that we're ever going to experience? You see, they chose to give up, if you will, some temporary comforts so they could gain some access to eternal rewards. They did not choose immediate pleasures over the joy that God would give to them when they would receive from God what was best when it was best. Maybe they understood Matthew chapter 6, take no thought for your life. For what shall ye eat? Or what shall ye drink? Yet for the body, what shall ye put on? You talk to the average Christian today, they're concerned about the next meal. They're concerned about the next commodity that when really what they have is doing okay. They're living for the now, but the Bible says, take no thought for your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care of shall take thought for the things of itself. If I seek God first, it's amazing how all those things I thought I would lose, or I thought I was giving up, I gained. These Christians understood that they may lose some temporary comfort, but that they were going to gain some eternal rewards. They were determined that living by faith would yield a greater and more satisfying reward than the temporary pleasures of attempting to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 2 tells us that the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, and the fruit of the wicked to sin. Verse number 22, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Why do I want to get what the world claims they have the way the world gets it, when they wish they didn't have the baggage that came along with the fun that they're enjoying? As a Christian, I live my life differently than the world does. I live it by faith. I persevere with confidence, not confidence in my own ability to understand God's timing, but confidence in understanding God's promises, that He will fulfill His promise in my life if I keep persevering with patience. We find out that these Christians not only decided to, if you will, lose some temporary comfort to gain some eternal rewards, but they did not trade the confidence and hope in God's ability to fulfill His promises for temporary comfort. In verse number 35, we're instructed to cast not away our confidence, which hath a great recompense. That word recompense is a compensation for a service. There is a great compensation awaiting the child of God who remains faithful, who remains confident, who remains persevering, and who remains patient until the reward comes. Remember what happened to Abraham when he tried to get his son his own way? He brought difficulties into his life. When you try to get God's blessings using man's methods, you bring turmoil in your life and oftentimes delay God's ability to give to you what he has promised you. You realize it was exactly 12 years after the birth of Ishmael before Isaac was born. 12 years old, a young man became a man. They were able to leave the house and then Isaac was born. I wonder if, I wouldn't argue and wouldn't prove it, but I wonder if Abraham had, I'm delaying God's promises. I wonder how many times in our life we do something to try to get something our own way and realize, I made a mistake. Noah did not wait until the storm came before he obeyed God. In fact, Noah endured over 100 years of hard work, ridicule, and several months of raging storm, and then several more months of living on a stinky boat waiting for the ground to dry up before his faith became sight on the other side of the flood. You see, faith was their satisfaction until the reward came. They gained satisfaction in their obedience when they could not get satisfaction in an object. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance. I can find joy and satisfaction in my obedience and my faith when I don't get the promises that are yet to come. We find that Abraham did not wait until he was holding Isaac before he sets off to obey God. He does not wait until his seeds were multiplied as the stars of the sky before he obeys God. We find Abraham obeying God faithfully for many decades before he sees God's promises fulfilled in his life. Hebrews 11, 8 through 12, and then Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Moses does not wait until he sees how God is going to use him before he obeys. Moses chooses rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Moses, by faith, decides that I'm going to obey God regardless of whether I see how God's promises can be fulfilled. I'm going to obey by faith, and I'm going to persevere patiently. No wonder the Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him without faith. We must believe that he that cometh to God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Christian, take God off trial. It's okay to prove God in your life, but take God off trial. Either God can do what he said he would do, or he can't. And if God can do what he said he would do, then how about I do what God has called me to do? And quit waiting on God to do what he said he would do after I'm supposed to be doing what I'm to be doing. No wonder we find in Hebrews chapter number 10, not casting away the confidence, not getting discouraged. Well, I've obeyed God, I've tithed, I've been a soul winner, I've promised that I was going to get this family in church, but here we are 11 months into the year, and I haven't seen any fruit from my labor. There's fruit. Just be patient. You may not get it on God's calendar, but the fields are white unto harvest, and you'll reap the harvest. Just be patient. Persevere. Don't allow your confidence to be shifted from your ability or man's ability to comfort you. Keep your confidence in God's ability to keep his promises. You see, these Christians exercised patience in receiving the reward of the righteous. Many Christians will never see the reward of faith because they stop obeying by faith because they don't see the immediate results. Do not trade your confidence in what God has said for what man claims he can give you. Don't use patience to justify laziness. Well, I'm just waiting on God. You've been waiting on him for the last 10 years. You've been waiting on him for the last 2 years. You've been waiting on him. He's waiting on you. Don't use patience to justify laziness. We don't find one individual in the hall of faith sitting around waiting for God to bless them. They said, I'm going to go do and then watch what God can through me. Amen. They didn't sit around waiting. They did. They continued in the work that God promised He would bless. They didn't wait for things to get easier. They simply did right while exercising patience. When waiting for the reward of doing right to come. Here's this message again. Patience is doing the will of God while facing the opposition with the confidence that God will reward the doing of His will. Patience. Don't wait for it to become easier to do right. Teach the teenagers. You might be the only one, but you're just getting a head start on life. Because if anybody's lived any amount of life, there's been a time where they were the only one. But it didn't kill them. It didn't destroy them. Now some it had, but it only revealed the weakness, the lack of faith. Those who make it through that time of seeming loneliness, they come out closer to God because they realize they're not alone. They realize they've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Don't wait for things to get easier to do right. Don't wait for right to be socially accepted to do right. Don't wait for the society to understand the faith of a child of God to live by faith. Don't wait for it to make sense of soul winning, of being a separated Christian, of stepping out and serving God. Don't wait until it makes sense before you do it. Obey. Persevere with patience. Let me give you 3 points and we'll be done this evening. Number one, you need to recognize that you'll face obstacles as you set off to live by faith. The 3 main obstacles that you'll face are your flesh, the foe, and your friends. Your biggest obstacle is you. The biggest one that gets in the way of you is you. I preached a sermon in chapel. It probably wasn't the best sermon to preach within the first couple months of me being there. They didn't like me as it was because for whatever reason I seemed a little bit more strict than what they were used to. And I couldn't figure out. I thought I was a pretty nice guy. But I preached a sermon entitled, "The Best You is a Dead You." And all the teachers said, "Amen." And I said, "Now, time out, don't crucify me here. The best version of you is when you crucify the flesh and yield to the Holy Spirit." Your biggest obstacle to seeing your faith come to fruition is your flesh. Your flesh will limit you if you allow it, but you don't have to. You've already received victory. God's given us the victory. We've just got to obey in faith. But there's also a devil out there that doesn't want you to succeed. He's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. He's waiting until you're tired emotionally, physically, and spiritually. When you're just worn out, but brethren, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't get tired of the fight. Keep going. But did you know that sometimes the closer you get to somebody, the more flaws you see? Now, my wife's the luckiest lady in the entire world because I was the only man that the closer she actually got to, the better I looked. But the rest of you out there, the closer you get, you start to see the flaws. And you know, I'm the luckiest man because the closer or the more I got to know her, the better she got. She's perfect. She has no errors and no flaws. But did you know the closer you get to somebody, the more you open yourself up to being hurt? Oh, yeah. David said it wasn't an enemy, but it was mine own friend. David said it was somebody that I supped with that hurt me. Maybe this is why Galatians 5:7 says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" Most people blame circumstances as to why they don't succeed when it's an individual they've allowed to trip them up that causes them to fail. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Number one, recognize you'll face obstacles on your journey of faith. Realize, number two, that as you face these obstacles, you can still live by faith. I don't have to stop doing what is right. I can press on. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I need to realize that stopping the work will not eliminate my problem. So many people think that, well, it's because I obeyed God that this happened in my life. And if I stop obeying God, then everything will go back to the way it used to be. The Bible gives us the illustration that they were worse off when they went back to the world than what they were. They'd have been better off not even coming to God and staying in the world. That's how bad it gets for the individual who turns their back on God. Just because the bad circumstance, a difficult circumstance, something hard comes in my life, if I stop obeying God, it's not going to get rid of the problem. Maybe that's why Matthew 11 says in verse number 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what? I'll give you rest by taking away your burden." Take away all your problems. Verse number 29, "Take my yoke." You see, you're trying to carry your burden and God's burden. Put yours down and pick His up. He says, "And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Parents, don't stop rearing your children for God because it seems you've hit a wall. And it's not popular to teach your kids what gender they are. It's not popular to teach your kids that country music, rock and roll music, rap music is wrong. Parents, don't stop rearing your kids that it's right to be respectful. "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. Please. Thank you." And that we reinforce how they're to act around adults.
Amen.
Kids were once seen and not heard, but now they make sure that they're the only ones heard. Parents, that's your job. Train up. And the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. But how will they ever learn of a way that they're never trained in? It takes training. It takes you persevering with patience.
Amen.
Years, day after day of consistency and not giving in to the stubbornness of that sweet angel you call your child. Teachers, don't stop serving God with your life because it seems that your seed has fallen on stony ground. You keep teaching the truth, you keep loving, and that seed will grow. Christian, don't quit being a witness for God because it seems that your light is to no avail. You need to realize that as you face obstacles, you can still live by faith. Sin number one, that as you live the life of faith, you're going to face obstacles. But number two, you need to realize you can still face those obstacles and live by faith. And lastly, number three, you need to understand that if you choose to live by faith through the obstacles, you will receive the greatest reward. The need to believe that God can and will fulfill His promises in my life has never been more needed than right now. Hebrews 11:6, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Diligently, confidently, persevering with patience, believing that what I'm doing is going to be blessed by God because that's what He told me in His Word. I need to have faith and confidence in God that He will reward my obedience. The Bible says in 2 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8, "Look to yourselves. Take account of your life. Quit looking at everybody around you. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought." Wonder how many times we do a work for God and we quit just before the victory. And oftentimes those victories happen, but we weren't there to see them. How many of the disciples, I think of Thomas, he spent those years with Jesus Christ, but he missed the night that Jesus showed up after He came from the grave and he wasn't there to see him. Oh, I missed it. He quit just a night too soon. Don't quit. Those blessings are going to happen. My word will not return void. But are you going to be there to see it? I need to have faith and confidence that God will reward my obedience. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Do you want a partial reward? Or do you want a full reward? Any amount of obedience will receive a reward from God. But I want a full reward. I want to reap the entire benefit of being a child of God. I don't just want to be satisfied with just a little bit. I want all of it. Hebrews 12. We'll finish with this. I love the verse. Chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore seeing. I'm looking at the example of those who have gone before. And I have seen how they saw God's promises fulfilled. And I have seen how God fulfilled promises in other people's lives because of their obedience. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. I need to run with patience. I need to have patience as my coach while I'm running the race of the Christian life. Run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you running the race? Or have you stopped? Are you exercising patience as you run? Or have you taken your confidence and shifted it from faith in God to faith in man? Is your focus on Jesus? Or is your focus on man? No wonder Paul said, I must endure the hardness as a good soldier. No wonder Paul said, I must fight the good fight of faith. Christian life has never been promised to be an easy one, but has always been promised to be profitable. And it is only profitable those who persevere with patience. Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. The truth, I pray, was simple. Persevering with patience. Patience is not needed to wait for a trial to end. Patience is for the fulfillment of a promise after I have obeyed. Have you given up hope? Have you cast your focus away? Hopefully this evening's message we can refocus our life and say, God, this evening I'm gonna get back on the horse. I'm going to get back on the track. I'm going to get back to doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing.